Thank you for joining us for this lesson from God's Word. The West Huntsville Church of Christ is located at 1303 Evangel Drive, Huntsville, Alabama, 35816, and can be reached by phone at area code 256-837-8730. Anytime you're in the Huntsville area, we would love to have you join us for worship or Bible study. Worship service is held every Sunday morning at 9 o'clock, with Bible study immediately following at 10:15. Evening services begin at 5. Midweek Bible study is held Wednesday nights at 7. Now, we hope you enjoy this lesson from God's Word brought to us by Glenn Collins.
It's good to see you back tonight. You ever have a Bible study with somebody and teach them the gospel? Maybe schedule another meeting, another study together perhaps a week later, only to have them return and start the second study by saying, "I want to ask you a question before we begin. I was talking to my mother, or I was talking to my boss or my coworker or to my friend about our studying together and that you're from the Church of Christ, and he said that, or she said that you're Campbellites. I don't understand that. What does it mean that you're Campbellites? Are you Campbellites, and could you tell me what this is about?" Now, some of you in this room, I suppose, have never heard this. Many of you have. Those of you who haven't heard it, perhaps someday will. So I want to give you some background. I want to give you some idea about what this is about. What does it mean that sometimes people refer to members of the Churches of Christ as Campbellites? Well, hold that thought and let's build up to it. We'll talk about it. The Church of the New Testament, the Church of Christ, was prophesied in Matthew chapter 16 and verse 18 among many passages when Jesus looked forward to its establishment. He said, "On this rock," the rock is the reality that Jesus is God's Son, "on this truth, this perfect truth that I'm the Son of God, come from heaven to redeem man, on this truth, I'm going to build my church." And the Lord did just that. I mean, He built His church. So you get to Acts, the second chapter, and the Bible says that 3,000 people listened to the gospel being preached. They did what they were told to do, to become Christians, to have their sins forgiven, receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. They did that. And verse 47 says, the Lord added them to His church. Now, it's very simple, but what you have at that point then is the existence of the pure church of Christ. I mean, by that I mean it's the church that belongs to Jesus. It's the church that Jesus was talking about when He said, "I will build my church." Well, now, Acts chapter 2, He's built it. There's the birthplace of the church. But Paul gives us a warning then in Acts chapter 20 and 28. He's talking to the elders and he says, "Now, take heed to yourselves." You know, take heed means you pay real attention to this. "Take heed to yourselves and unto all the flock over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers to feed the church of God which He hath purchased with His own blood." Now see, folks, we're talking about the same church. In Acts 2, you know, there's the birth of the church. In Matthew 16, Jesus said, "I'm going to build the church." And now Paul is talking about the church. And he says, "Now, elders, you be careful about the church." Then he continues, "After my departing," he said, I know this, "that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. Even among your own selves men shall arise, drawing disciples after them." Well, now I want to ask a question. What would happen if that occurred? What happens if you have the simple church of Jesus that He promised to build and He did build, and now you've got people that make up the church? What happens if men arise among them and divide off and draw disciples after them? Well, I suppose in the first place you're apt to call that new organization or new group something else to distinguish it from the original, right? The word denominate means a part of. And that's what I essentially have just described to you. So groups may split off from that to follow different doctrines of men and concepts of men and different religious organizations they create. But that's what Paul was warning about. Paul said, that's going to happen. You've got to watch, and the elders need to be careful to watch for this to keep the doctrine pure. Why is that? Well, because Because the Lord not only has established His church, but He's shown us how the church is to behave, how it's to be, how it's to conduct itself, and how it's to be organized, and all of these different things. Hold that thought. In 1788, a boy was born named Alexander Campbell. His daddy's name was Thomas. Now, Thomas was a Presbyterian preacher. Alexander grew up then there in Ireland where he was born, and he was a brilliant, brilliant boy. Loved to read. It wasn't long before people started referring to Alexander as a scholar. He went to the University of Glasgow to get his education. While there, he met up with some people who were saying that, you know, what we ought to do is to go back to the Scriptures, a stricter view of applying the Scriptures. We ought to go back to the New Testament for our faith and practice. And Alexander started adopting these views. That made sense to him. He was real nervous about telling his daddy, though. His daddy was a Presbyterian preacher, and he was afraid that his dad would be very disappointed in him. But he went back and told his dad, and to his delight, Thomas said, "You know what? I've been thinking this way for a long time. I think this is right. I think we should go back to the New Testament for our faith and our practice. We ought to go back." Well, this just set Alexander thinking in all different directions and questioning everything that he was doing in religion, in his beliefs and practices and his teaching. Am I doing what the New Testament says? Am I going by that pattern? Or in which ways have we deviated from that pattern? He eventually left the Presbyterians because of his issues with things like infant baptism and so forth. And he was working his way through this, and he united for a while with the Baptists because they practiced immersion for baptism. Well, anyway, working through this, he had a child one day, and he and his wife had a child, and there came this issue of infant baptism. Aren't you going to christen the baby? Well, that was a real problem for Alexander, and I think a turning point, because he knew that wasn't right. He knew that the Bible didn't teach baptism of babies in any way at all, much less sprinkling water on them. And so not only did he refuse that, he set out to be baptized himself for the remission of sins, just the way the New Testament pattern says it. This is 1812. He found a man by the name of Matthias Luce. Now, Matthias was not, didn't agree with Alexander's views in religion. He was a Baptist preacher. And he had a real problem with this when Alexander said what he wanted. I want you, I suppose he opened up Acts chapter 2 maybe, or Mark chapter 16, or wherever, and said, I want you to baptize me this way. I want you to baptize me just the way this says. Will you do it? And you see, the common practice back then was to consider people as, of course this is true today, but to consider people already saved and then they're baptized. Salvation is done first, and baptism has nothing to do with your salvation. And so testimony was usually taken before the baptism. I mean, you tell me about your salvation experience. You give me some testimony about how the Lord has come into you and how He saved you. After I hear your testimony, then I will know you're a saved person, and then I'll baptize you because God's already forgiven you of your sins. Alexander wanted none of that. I want you to do it this way. Based on my confession of faith and the repentance of my sins, I want you to baptize me, immerse me for the remission of sins. Well, Luce agreed to do it. Maybe reluctantly, but he agreed to do it, and he baptized Alexander Campbell. Campbell edited a paper for about 7 years. He wrote a few books, had some debates. Point number next. The members of the Churches of Christ are not Campbellites. I offer as evidence for that these things. Number one, Campbell never, ever, ever wanted to establish a new denomination. The fact of the matter is, the heart of his message was, the Bible doesn't teach all different religions, it just teaches the church. What we need to do is to go back to the New Testament and just be Christians. He wasn't trying to establish another sect, another denominational body. He was trying to reduce all of those down to one. Let's just be the Church of Christ. No denominations, no divisions, just the church. Here's a quote from him in in the Christian Baptist publication of 1826. He said this, "I have no idea of adding to the catalog of new sects, S-E-C-T-S, denominations. I labor to see sectarianism abolished and all Christians of every name united upon the one foundation upon which the Apostolic Church was founded. To bring Baptists and Pedo-Baptists to this is my supreme end. I'm not trying to establish a new denomination. I want to stop all of that. I want to bring all of us together in an agreement that we will teach and believe and practice the foundation of the New Testament." That's what he was about. I submit to you that we're not Campbellites. Number one, because Campbell never, ever sought to have people follow him in that way, or to be a Campbellite, or to establish a Campbellite church. He didn't want people to follow his name or his personage at all. Secondly, in my entire lifetime, and I've been preaching about 30 years, I've never known a person. I've never known a person who considered himself a Campbellite or referred to himself as a Campbellite. I've never met one. To my knowledge, there hasn't been one. The third, I offer as evidence that we're not Campbellites, because with clarity, with plainness of speech, I declare to you right now that to do that would be a sin. I mean, if we were a mind to do it, it would be a sin. Open your Bible to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. I want to start reading with the 10th verse. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, beginning in verse 10. Now remember, there was division in Corinth in the church there, and Paul is writing to address those things. There's been some correspondence going on between them, and here's what he writes about this. "Now, I beseech you, brethren, that you all speak the same thing." I am sure, folks, that this passage I'm about to read to you was one of the driving forces in Alexander Campbell's preaching. He was saying the division of sectarianism, and that's a big word that means dividing into different sects in Christianity, all different denominations, and a sect or denomination, same thing in the way that I'm describing it here. I'm sure this passage was one of those that drove him. I'm sure he preached from this many, many times to say, you know, we ought to just be one, to be united in the New Testament. "Now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same thing, and that there be no divisions among you, but that you be perfectly joined together in the same mind and the same judgment. For it has been declared unto me, my brethren, of you, my brethren, by them which are of the house of Chloe, that there are some contentions among you. Now, this I say, that every one of you saith, I am of Paul, and I of Apollos, and I of Cephas, and I of Christ." And Paul criticizes them there, and he says, "Is Christ divided?" Does that make sense to you, he says? Does that make sense? Is Christ divided? Was this his purpose? Was this what he wanted in religion? Was Paul crucified for you? Does it make any sense to say, I am of Paul? He's not the one who died on that cross for you. Were you baptized in the name of Paul? Well, you say, well, no. Then why are you wearing his name? Why are you considering yourself someone who's a Christian of Paul, or a Paulite Christian, or a Cephas Christian, or however you'd phrase it? My point was that we learn from this passage in our discussion tonight, if we were to declare ourselves after the name of Alexander Campbell, not only was that not what he wanted, not only are people not doing that, and never have so far as I know, but if anybody ever did, it'd be a sin. It'd be just as much a sin as it would be for us to establish a church, ladies and gentlemen, on any man, and any man's doctrine. Point number last. The restoration movement is a right movement. Restoration is this approach to the Bible and to the church. This approach in which we say, let's go back to the New Testament for our faith and practice. Let's restore the church that we read about in the New Testament. You see, because, and I know this is very plain talk, but the Bible, Jesus taught that it wasn't enough to just claim attachment to Him. The common sectarian idea tonight is that in religion, so long as you call Jesus Lord, you are His people. You're among His people. Any church that calls Jesus Lord, that's enough, without regard to what kind of practice or worship or all of these other different variables that occur in religions today. So long as you refer to Jesus, you call Jesus Lord. But you know what Jesus said about this, don't you? Matthew chapter 7 and verse 21, listen closely. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he which doeth the will of my Father, which is in heaven. It's not enough, you know. And Jesus points us to the Word. Jesus points us to the Bible. That's where you've got to get it. I've given you the New Testament for a purpose. What's that purpose? To illuminate your pathway to heaven, show you how to be a Christian, show you how to live in the church, how the church is to be run and organized and how it's to function. That's the purpose of it. The New Testament is its last will and testament for that purpose. The truth is that unless a religious body is planted by God, and folks, it doesn't matter if I'm right or I'm wrong. It doesn't matter what I believe or what I practice or what I'm a part of. What I'm about to say to you is objective truth. It's not true because of me. It has nothing to do with me. It's objective truth because the Bible teaches it. Unless God planted that church, it's never going to work. It's never going to please Him. It'll never be pleasing to Him. It never will. This isn't going to turn out good. And the way that God plants churches, beginning with the birth of the church till today, is with the preaching of the New Testament, the truth of the New Testament. How do you plant a church today? How would you do it? Could you do it? Well, yeah. How could you do it? What if you moved to Kalamazoo and there wasn't a church there? What would you have to do to start one? Could you do it? Sure you could. Well, you'd have to pay some dues and get permission, wouldn't you? No. No. You know what you'd do? You'd take this New Testament. You'd start teaching it. That's what you'd do. And you'd organize the church according to the pattern. That's what you'd do. But here's what Jesus said in Matthew 15 and verse 13 about religions that were established by men instead of on the foundation of the New Testament and the apostles. He said, every plant which my heavenly Father hath not planted shall be rooted up. He's talking about religions of men. He's talking about these kinds of organizations. You know what? It won't turn out good. It'll never turn out good. In Luke chapter 8, Jesus taught the parable of the sower. You remember. A sower went forth to sow his seed, and some fell on this ground, and some fell on that ground. Some fell on good ground, and it brought forth plentifully. You remember how that goes. Well, in verse 11 of Luke 8, Jesus says, as he's explaining the parable, the seed is the Word of God. I've always thought that was a fascinating analogy. The seed is the Word of God. Somebody says, I understand you're a member of the Church of Christ. Yes, I am. Aren't you a Campbellite? Well, no. I've never been a Campbellite. That's kind of amusing to me, too. You know how few of our members know anything about Campbell? It's very possible that many of you have heard more about Campbell tonight than you remember from the rest of your life. We don't study Campbell. If a crow comes down to the ground and he picks up an acorn and gets it in his mouth and he flies for a distance and keeps it there for a while and ultimately comes to some soil and he drops that acorn and a tree sprouts there, is that a crow tree? No, it's an oak tree. If Alexander Campbell or anybody else takes the New Testament and preaches it, and it falls on good and honest hearts, the soil of good and honest hearts, if that seed impregnates that heart and the person obeys the gospel, what is he then? What is he? I am of Paul. I am of Apollos. I am of Cephas. I am of Campbell? No. He follows the true New Testament, simply the New Testament. You know what? It'll make him a Christian. You know why? Because the seed is the Word of God. And when you plant a seed in your garden, and some of you already are this spring, it's going to bring forth just what's in that seed and nothing more. You plant corn, corn's going to come up. You plant watermelon, watermelon's going to come up, or cantaloupe, it's true about squash or cucumber. But if you take the Word of God, which the Bible says is the seed, and you plant it in good and honest hearts, you know what's going to produce, what's going to come up? Christians. That's all that's in the seed. A man's not going to study this book, this New Testament, and come out and say, I want to be a member of some sect in religion or some denomination. He's not going to, because he won't be able to find that here. And that's what Campbell was preaching. And that's what we're preaching. Now, I don't know about all of Campbell's beliefs, and I'm frankly not a student of Alexander Campbell. But I'm a student of the Word of God. I plan to be that for the rest of my life. In 2 John 9, we read these words. Whosoever transgresseth and abideth not in the doctrine or teaching of Christ hath not God. You know what I want to be in religion? And what I'm urging you to be? I want to be a Christian. Somebody might say, you know, you're a Campbellite. Well, that person's simply uninformed, misinformed. I've never been a Campbellite. Frankly, I don't know a lot about him. And to the degree that he taught the truth, well, I appreciate that. I think that's a wonderful thing. But I've got lots of preachers that I admire for their preaching of the truth, the Word of God. That's not relevant. It's not relevant. The only thing that's relevant is that we believe and hold to the unchanging hand of God. And how do you know? How do you know what is right in religion? You know, because Jesus Christ left us with His last will and testament. That's how I know. So you know what? Tonight we've been singing. Congregational acapella singing. I know that that's right because of Ephesians 5:19 and Colossians 3:16. Today we've eaten the Lord's Supper. I know that's right because of 1 Corinthians chapter 11. We have met today for our worship, and we didn't do it yesterday on the Sabbath day. We met on the first day of the week. I know that's right because of Acts chapter 20 and verse 7. That's when they did it. You know what you call that? I hope you enjoy it as much as I do. You know what you call that? You call it restoration. We're going back. What'll it make us? Well, in Acts the second chapter, those people heard the gospel and they were told to repent and be baptized for the remission of their sins. And those people who did that were added to the church. What if you do that? What will it make you today? Make you just what they were. Oh, no, no. I mean, what denomination will that be? None. Well, what kind of Christian would you be called? No kind of Christian, just a Christian. Not sectarian, not denominational, just a Christian. And a member of the church of which Jesus spoke when He said, on this rock I will build my church. I say to you right now, there is no higher aspiration in religion than to just be a Christian. There's nothing higher than that. Were you baptized in the name of Paul? No, but I was baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. For what reason? For the remission of my sins, because that's where forgiveness is, in His blood. Is there someone here tonight who wants to become a member of that body? You can, same way they did. Won't make you a Campbellite. Who would want to be one anyhow? It'll make you a Christian, a disciple of Jesus Christ. Repent of your sins and confess His name, and we'd be happy to assist you tonight and baptize you into Christ. And your sins will be washed away just like theirs were, and you'll be added to His church. If you need the prayers of the Christians, we'd be happy to do it. However we can help you tonight, we want to do that. If you just want to make your way down one of these aisles, come now as we stand and sing. We hope you have enjoyed this lesson from God's Word, brought to you by the West Huntsville Church of Christ. If you would like to continue your study of God's Word with a Bible correspondence course, please contact the church office at area code 256-837-8730.